The use of tasers, pepper spray, wall slams, and other measures are among 40 allegations of inmate abuse at the Waupun Correctional Institution since 2011. As our state capitol report continues, we will talk with a guest from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism about the findings, how the state is responding to these accusations, and how other key leaders are reacting. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, July 21st. We will welcome in Bill Leaders, a reporter, editor, and money and politics project director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And we will welcome your questions for him, your reactions to his story, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Bill Leaders' current series is about inmate abuse at the Waupun Correctional Institution. The part one was released yesterday. Waupun prison guards accused of abusing dozens of inmates. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Joy.
So, first off, why did you look into this story?
Well, we heard in early February from a prison advocate, Peg Swan, who lives out in rural Richland County, who had been corresponding with inmates at Waupun. She's in touch with inmates in prisons all across the state, and identified what she called to our attention as a pattern of abusive behavior, where a large number of inmates were alleging that they were being mistreated physically and psychologically, in some cases, by guards in that institution, particularly in the segregation unit. That's the focus of the series, is allegations of abuse within the 180-cell segregation unit at Waupun.
Otherwise known as solitary confinement?
Correct. That's what it's commonly called.
Yeah. So prisoners complaining of being mistreated, is that uncommon?
Well, it happens throughout the prison system, and it happens throughout, you know, the country, that allegations of abuse are made, and sometimes they are untruthful allegations. Obviously, not every allegation is credible or correct. What I found in looking into Waupun was just a really large number of allegations. Some of them are made in federal lawsuits that have been filed by inmates against guards and others at the institution. Some of them are described in letters to Peg Swan, for instance, or to a state senator who has shown an interest in these issues. Some of the inmates corresponded with me. I was able to interview some former inmates at Waupun, and they all, many of them told very similar stories about very serious abuse that they alleged was occurring in the segregation unit.
For example?
Pushing inmates down steps while they're handcuffed behind their backs, beating them, throwing them into walls, throwing them into the floor. In the incident reports I was able to obtain from the prison itself, it's clear that use of force is applied in many of these circumstances. The guards do admit that they deliver knee strikes and that they direct inmates into a wall or into the floor. They always say that they use the least amount of force necessary to control the situation, that the situation was instigated by the inmates' bad behavior. That's invariably the explanation that is given. What the inmates say is that they're not resisting. They are being beaten while they are handcuffed behind their backs and mistreated in other ways by these guards.
So, Bill, when an inmate says, "Hey, I was beaten while I was in handcuffs, I wasn't resisting," what happens? How is this? Who looks into this?
Well, there's an internal complaint process, and many of these inmates have filed complaints over the treatment. They've written letters to the warden, or they've filed an internal complaint form with the prison. I didn't see any that weren't rejected or dismissed. The prison officials that look into these matters decide that the guard's account of the incident is credible and the inmate's is not, and the complaints are dismissed. In many cases, inmates are actually disciplined for their conduct In these incidents that lead to them being injured and lead to them filing complaints. So they say the guard beat me, and they file a complaint over it. The complaint is rejected, and additionally, they're charged with either, in some cases, crimes, but more often discipline within the institution for the behavior that that they allegedly engaged in.
And you point out that 2/3 of the allegations pertain to one single guard, Joseph Beam. You're going to be on Wisconsin Public Radio's Central Time at 4 o'clock today to talk more about him and the allegations against him. But what has the Wisconsin Department of Corrections had to say in response to these accusations?
Well, Peg Swan, the prison advocate, did write a letter to the Department of Corrections and asked that Joseph Beam be removed from duty while the allegations against him were investigated. I found 28 separate allegations of abuse involving this one guard among the 40 that that I was able to identify. Now, there were other allegations that I was aware of that didn't make my list of 40. My list of 40 are incidents that have a reasonable degree of specificity as to when it occurred, who was involved, and what happened, and where I was able to, in most cases, get additional information from either the Department of Corrections or from federal lawsuit filings. That's how I came up with 40. It could have been more because there were more that I was aware of that didn't make the list. But of the 40 that I identified, 28 involved this one guard, Joseph Beam. When the request was made to reassign him pending an investigation, the DOC denied that, said that they believe that the allegations were fabricated to the point where it could result in discipline against the inmates who made these allegations.
So the state or the Waupun says that this is fabricated, the charges against Joseph Beam fabricated. They say the inmates are lying. How do we know they're not?
Well, we don't know they're not. I think what is striking about our report is just the number of allegations, the consistency of the allegations, the fact that some people on the outside looking in have stated that they believe there is reason to investigate these externally, to have someone other than the Department of Corrections look at these. That includes a former secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Corrections, Walter Dickey, now a law school professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He feels as though this matter should be independently investigated. And that the integrity of the prison system depends on that occurring.
Yeah, why does the integrity of the prison system depend on this?
Well, because you can't have abuse occurring within the institution. It has to be something that is identified and dealt with through training, through discipline, through better mechanisms of administrative control. I mean, obviously, we don't want for these allegations to be true. We don't want a prison system in which things like this do occur. We know nationally that things like this happen in other prison systems. The New York Times just did a story last week about the abuse of inmates by guards at Rikers Island. In that case, it was internally investigated, and there was a determination made by, it's actually the City Health Department, which provides health services in the prison there, that abuse was in fact occurring. Very serious beatings were occurring of inmates by guards.
So who decides if there is an external investigation of what happened, what you found at Waupun?
I think it has to come from the head of the organization, from the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Ed Wall, or maybe it would be the legislature or the governor who would ask that that these things be looked into and provide the resources for there to be an independent investigation if that were to occur.
Yeah, besides former corrections Secretary Walter Dickey saying this ought to be investigated, have you received any other response to your just released report?
I haven't, but in the preparation of it, there were others who I spoke to who were aware of these allegations and concerned by them. Kit Kirstensteiner of Disability Rights Wisconsin, she's an attorney with that organization. She's aware of a high volume of complaints that have come from WAPON. Senator Lena Taylor, who is a Democrat from Milwaukee, she used to be head of a committee that oversaw the prison system and continues to get letters from inmates all across the state. She's aware of a high volume of complaints dealing with WAPON, particularly the segregation unit, and is concerned about it. There are things that she would like to see changed in how the prison system operates.
Well, part one was on the specific allegations of abuse at WAPON prison. What's part two going to be specifically about?
Well, part two was actually this morning is about the allegations in more detail, particularly Joseph Beam and a couple of other guards who are frequently mentioned. I was able to get disciplinary records for, I requested them for 8 separate guards, and I was able to ascertain that none of the guards that are named frequently in complaints have ever been investigated for mistreating inmates. There's never been an investigation that's been done that has dealt directly with inmate mistreatment. Things that they're investigated for are like sleeping on the job or being late for work. Those are the type of complaints I was able to find by doing a record search for various guards. Joseph Beam has not had anything more serious than a sleeping on the job investigation, which he denied and said that he felt that now not only did he have to worry about inmates lying about him, he had to worry about prison officials coming up with false allegations about him.
We are talking with Bill Leaders, reporter, editor, and Money and Politics Project Director for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. His current series is about inmate abuse at the WAPON Correctional Institution. We have posted his reports on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and we are welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your reactions. We're welcoming your answers to the dilemma here. What solutions do you see? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Bill will be on Central Time today at 4 o'clock to address specific abuse allegations. Tomorrow at 4, UW Law Professor Walter Dickey will be joining Central Time to talk more about when and why segregation is used and what effects it may have on prisoners and the guards who work in prisons. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Bill Leaders from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, who is writing a series about inmate abuse at the WAPON Correctional Institution. And we welcome your questions for him, your reactions to what you've heard so far. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mary in Merrimack is with us. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I haven't worked in the prison system, but I've worked in institutions, in mental institutions and an institution for developmentally disabled and that. And I think this is a chronic problem that's been going on for years and years and years. When you work in a facility where you have the power over, you know, the people in these institutions, it brings out the absolute worst in employees' behavior and the absolute best. You see both sides of the coin. And it's something that institutions themselves never really address, the psychological effects that employees exert over people in these places.
Thank you very much, Mary, for bringing that point up. Bill, did this come up in your investigation?
Explicitly. One of the people I interviewed is a state psychologist, Jean Braxma, who now works with the Wisconsin Center for Developmentally Disabled Individuals. He worked at WAPON Prison commonly in the segregation unit for about 5 years, ending in 2012. And he said explicitly, you cannot have an environment where one group of people has all the power and another group of people have absolutely no power, and for abuse not to occur. And he said he witnessed things there that troubled him. He saw injuries that he considered highly suspicious. He also was aware of situations where inmates were injured and the guard said that they were resisting, but there was no conduct report. I mean, resisting is something that you can get written up for and get disciplined for. And he felt that that was indicative of the guards not wanting to call attention to what happened that led to the injury.
Yeah, interesting. How can you not have, in a prison situation, guards who are guarding inmates, how can there not be that, that power differential?
Well, Dr. Braxma called my attention to a documentary, which I watched on the Stanford prison experiment, that famous 1971 experiment where college students were picked to play the part either of guard or inmate it only went on for about a week before it was stopped. People saw what was going on and they were horrified how the students very quickly fell into roles of abuser and abused. Apparently, it is something that can occur, is that when you are confronted with a situation where someone is powerless and you are powerful, there's an impulse to take that to a level of abuse.
Peter on Facebook says, an often overlooked reason for reducing our prison population is to reduce our need for prison guards. The job of prison guard takes ordinary people and ruins them. It's worse than being a police officer, an immigration agent for a person. So Peter apparently sees this too.
I did find and included in part one of my report some information about the toil that being a correctional officer has on individuals. They have a lower life expectancy than other professions. They have very, very commonly stress-related problems ranging from substance abuse to a higher rate of suicide to traumatic stress disorder. It's a very difficult profession.
So I guess also looking at the other side to some extent, have there been instances of attacks on guards by inmates?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. The state of Wisconsin identified 350 separate incidents of attacks or attempted attacks on guards by inmates in Wisconsin over, it was roughly a year period. That ended sometime last year. There's a report that I found and posted along with my story. In many of the situations that I describe, these are also would have been recorded as attacks on guards, where the inmates say they were abused by guards. The guards' version of it is the inmate attacked me, spit at me, kicked me, and that started the whole thing. So some of these are overlapping.
So can you tell us about the kind of offender at Waupun? Are we talking about...
It's a maximum security prison. Mm-hmm. You have everything from drug dealers to murderers, mm-hmm. Kidnappers, child molesters. Very serious criminals are put there. And some of the most serious criminals end up in segregation because these are the people who can't follow the rules of the general population. Sometimes mental illness is a factor. Upwards of more than half and close to two-thirds of the inmates who end up in segregation are mentally ill. And so people who have serious problems obeying rules and getting along within the institution will end up in segregation, which is a very bleak and punishing environment. We're talking about being locked into a tiny cell 23 to 24 hours a day where everything is done for you. Your food is brought to you. Your medicine is brought to you. You're taken in restraints to exercise maybe four times a week for an hour. That's very labor intensive on what is required of the guards to tend these inmates because they can't really do anything for themselves.
And part three of your series is on
It deals with segregation. Yes.
Yeah. And we only have a little bit of time left, but I know that former Wisconsin Department of Corrections Secretary Rick Ramish in Colorado now put himself into solitary confinement mm-hmm. and has turned around on this, doesn't think that this is something we should be doing in our prisons.
Right. He's leading a national rethinking of the use of solitary confinement, and a number of states have changed their rules with regard to the use of solitary confinement, New York and Maine and New Mexico among them. In Wisconsin, our Department of Corrections Secretary Ed Wall put out a memo in April questioning the state's use of segregation, questioning particularly that it was used for punitive reasons and that maybe was making inmates more dangerous rather than serving any sort of rehabilitative purpose. Understand that most of the people who are in our prison system are someday going to be released. Rick Ramish, in his essay that he wrote about it for the New York Times, I think put the figure at 97%. I'm not sure exactly what it is in Wisconsin, but the vast majority of people who are in prison will be released into the general population. So it is an issue of public safety whether someone leaves a prison system more dangerous than they were when they were locked up.
Yeah. So in our last 30 seconds here, what's is there? Do you think that there will be some changes or investigations into the procedures at Waupun Prison?
I can't predict that. I will say that Walter Dickey is a very credible and respected individual, and he says that he believes there needs to be an independent external investigation, that I think that would be taken seriously.
Bill, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
Bill Leaders, reporter, editor, Money and Politics Project Director at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. More on his report coming up today after 4 on Central Time. Thanks to Bill Martins, Robin Cherry, and Christy Taylor for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.